When I'm on a date, I'll get a whiff of something that smells like skunk and I'll start obsessing about it, she told them. I'll start wondering, does he smell it? What if I bring him home and he wants to leave? I went on 4 dates last year with a really nice guy, a guy I really liked, and I waited forever to invite him to my place. Eventually, he came over, and I thought everything was going really well. Then the next day, he said he wanted to take a break. He was really polite about it, but I keep wondering, was it the smell? Well, I'm glad you got a chance to try Febreze, Stimson said. How'd you like it? She looked at him. She was crying. I want to thank you, she said. This spray has changed my life. After she had received samples of Febreze, she had gone home and sprayed her couch. She sprayed the curtains, the rug, the bedspread, her jeans, her uniform, the interior of her car. The bottle ran out, so she got another one and sprayed everything else. I've asked all of my friends to come over, the woman said. They can't smell it anymore. The skunk is gone. By now, she was crying so hard that one of Stimson's colleagues was patting her on the shoulder. Thank you so much, the woman said. I feel so free. Thank you. This product is so important. Stimson sniffed the air inside her living room. He couldn't smell anything. We're going to make a fortune with this stuff, he thought. Stimson and his team went back to P&G headquarters and started reviewing the marketing campaign they were about to roll out. The key to selling Febreze, they decided, was conveying that sense of relief the park ranger felt. They had to position Febreze as something that would allow people to rid themselves of embarrassing smells. All of them were familiar with Claude Hopkins' rules, or the modern incarnations that filled business school textbooks. They wanted to keep the ads simple. Find an obvious cue and clearly define the reward. They designed 2 television commercials. The first showed a woman talking about the smoking section of a restaurant. Whenever she eats there, her jacket smells like smoke. A friend tells her if she uses Febreze, it will eliminate the odor. The cue, the smell of cigarettes. The reward, odor eliminated from clothes. The second ad featured a woman worrying about her dog, Sophie, who always sits on the couch. Sophie will always smell like Sophie, she says. But with Febreze, now my furniture doesn't have to. The cue? Pet smells, which are familiar to the 70 million households with animals. The reward? A house that doesn't smell like a kennel. Stimson and his colleagues began airing the advertisements in 1996 in the same test cities. They gave away samples, put advertisements in mailboxes, and paid grocers to build mountains of Febreze near cash registers. Then they sat back, anticipating how they would spend their bonuses. A week passed, then 2, a month, 2 months. Sales started small and got smaller. Panicked, the company sent researchers into stores to see what was happening. Shelves were filled with Febreze bottles that had never been touched. They started visiting housewives who had received free bottles. Oh, yes, one of them told a P&G researcher. The spray. I remember it. Let's see. The woman got down on her knees in the kitchen and started rooting through the cabinet underneath the sink. I used it for a while, but then I forgot about it. I think it's back here somewhere. She stood up. Maybe it's in the closet. She walked over and pushed aside some brooms. Yes, here it is, in the back. See? It's still almost full. Did you want it back? Febreze was a dud. For Stimson, this was a disaster. rival executives and other divisions sensed an opportunity in his failure. He heard whispers that some people were lobbying to kill Febreze and get him reassigned to Nikki Clark Hair Products, the consumer goods equivalent of Siberia. One of P&G's divisional presidents called an emergency meeting and announced they had to cut their losses on Febreze before board members started asking questions. Stimson's boss stood up and made an impassioned plea. "There's still a chance to turn everything around," he said. "At the very least, let's ask the PhDs to figure out what's going on." P&G had recently snapped up scientists from Stanford, Carnegie Mellon, and elsewhere who were supposed experts in consumer psychology. The division's president agreed to give the product a little more time. So a new group of researchers joined Stimson's team and started conducting more interviews. Their first inkling of why Febreze was failing came when they visited a woman's home outside Phoenix. They could smell her 9 cats before they went inside. The house's interior, however, was clean and organized. She was somewhat of a neat freak, the woman explained. She vacuumed every day and didn't like to open her windows, since the wind blew in dust. When Stimson and the scientists walked into her living room, where the cats lived, the scent was so overpowering that one of them gagged. "What do you do about the cat smell?" a scientist asked the woman. "It's usually not a problem," she said. "How often do you notice a smell?" "Oh, about once a month," the woman replied. The researchers looked at one another. "Do you smell it now?" a scientist asked. "No," she said. The same pattern played out in dozens of other smelly homes the researchers visited. People couldn't detect most of the bad smells in their lives. If you live with 9 cats, you become desensitized to their scent. If you smoke cigarettes, it damages your olfactory capacity so much that you can't smell smoke anymore. Scents are strange. Even the strongest fade with constant exposure. That's why no one was using Febreze, Stimson realized. The product's cue, the thing that was supposed to trigger daily use, was hidden from the people who needed it most. Bad scents simply weren't noticed frequently enough to trigger a regular habit. As a result, Febreze ended up in the back of a closet. The people with the greatest proclivity to use the spray never smelled the odors that should have reminded them the living room needed a spritz. Stimson's team went back to headquarters and gathered in the windowless conference room, rereading the transcript of the woman with 9 cats. The psychologist asked what happens if you get fired. Stimson put his head in his hands. If he couldn't sell Febreze to a woman with 9 cats, he wondered, who could he sell it to? How do you build a new habit when there's no cue to trigger usage? And when the consumers who most need it don't appreciate the reward?